Kegley with Illini guys. And I, Mike, the first thing I'm going to ask you is how do you get Kegley out of K-A-G-L-E-Y?
Well, you know, when they put the there was a long time ago, there was supposedly some Kegleys down in Kentucky, and one group got mad at the other group, and so they came up here, and the people up in Illinois spelled it C-A-G, and the people down in Kentucky left it K-E-G. I don't know what the real story is. I just know that I'm lucky because my younger brother, his first name is Jonah, and he has to spell both his first name and his last name every time. And with the first name Mike, I only have to do half as much in terms of spelling.
There you go. That's the way that works. So tell us how, I guess let's begin with, what is Illini Guys?
Illini Guys is a website that is covering Illini sports, and we get into a lot of the nitty-gritty. You know, you'll get the stuff that you can find in other places, you know, game recaps and what's going on and the updates of the general news. And then what we have for subscribers is we have message boards behind the paywall, and that's where we can kind of talk about what we're hearing rumor-wise, things that people probably wouldn't put their name on, that you could do a full-on journalistic story. But when we're out at, let's say, AAU tournaments talking to recruits, we can hear some things, get some information. So we can keep our subscribers up to date on, hey, how is Illinois doing with a recruit that they're looking, you know, to sign for basketball in November? Or how are they doing, you know, what's going on with, for instance, when Kofi was in the draft and then in the transfer portal? But we hear whispers and things, and we can keep our subscribers up to date. And then we do other things, like we have a game room, which is during football and basketball season, when there's a game on, we will go into the game room with our subscribers, and people will just put their comments in there, like a kind of like an old style chat room. But the cool thing about it is that you get, you know, there may be 100 or 200 people in there putting their thoughts down, and occasionally we get visits from Illini legends like David Williams or Craig Swope or other folks who that Illini fans have grown up with. And we try to do extra things like that that make it a little bit, get the coverage a little bit better. We do a lot of Zoom calls, try to do those so that we can give people updates. And that kind of evolved over time. It's like, wow, we've got a lot of material. We've got a lot of information, and we have access, and we have, you know, relationships with coaches all across the athletic department. Let's put together a radio show instead of, you know, stations being able to offer something from the, you know, ESPN, where they're going to talk endlessly about the Red Sox versus the Yankees, mm-hmm. or Westwood One, where it's, oh boy, UCLA versus USC. Why don't we put together a show where people, you know, who are Illini fans can listen to things about the Illini? And of course, we're conversant in Cardinals, Bears, Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks as well, if it's a little slow. Although with the transfer portal, there's really no such thing as an off season anymore, because it's just a lot of recruiting all year round to keep everybody up to date on.
And that's what we're going to be airing starting Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8 o'clock. Lead us right into that information hour at 8 o'clock. Is it every weekend of the year?
Yes, sir. We will be on there once you get used to waking up with the Illini guys. You know, that might take some adjustments for folks, but once they're used to that, I think you'll see it's a great stop for information. It's a fun, fast-paced show, and we're going to have some pretty good guests on. Coach Bielma is going to be on our first show. He's going to be our headline guest. In the second show, we're looking at potentially having either Brad Underwood or Josh Whitman, the athletic director. And then the third show, we'll have the other guy. I guess they have to play rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to be on first. But we're going to be able to give you some of those interviews and some insights into what's going on. And the great thing is, with Brad Sturdy as kind of our lead Illini insider. He's covered Illini sports like a blanket since the early 2000s. So outside of somebody like Lauren Tate, who's been there longer, you know, Brad knows everybody. You know, he knows coaching staff, players, you know, anybody who's, you know, there with Illini Athletics knows Brad Sturdy. We also will have Larry Smith. Now, not the old Alito Larry Smith who played for the Flying Illini, but Larry Smith, the former CNN anchor, former NBA TV anchor who actually had to help train Charles Barkley in his first job on air. That was a handful. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that with Larry. And then I come on, you know, myself, I'm more the voice of the common man, the Illini fans out there. And, of course, I've been a diehard Illini fan since I moved to Mahomet, which is just outside of Champaign, when I was, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, and I'm over 50 now. So I've been an Illini fan for a long time, and I think we've got a fun show that people will like, and there'll be a reason to tune in that'll lead into the rest of the programming for your folks.
Unless people think this is, oh, another football, basketball-heavy show, you're going to cover it all.
Yeah, we're going to cover it all, but I will tell you that there will be probably a little bit of a tendency to go towards football and basketball just because that's what a lot of the fans want. But, you know, when you look at University of Illinois' golf program, you know, spectacular program, volleyball program just had three individuals who were very, very important to the USA winning a gold medal in volleyball. And that, of course, was the first ever volleyball gold medal for the women. And it was the gold medal that pushed us over the top of China in the gold medal count. And, you know, two former players and a former coach were there. So that's really important to get that, you know, that out there as well. And U of I does really, really good in some of those more, I guess you look at them as Olympic sports. And there's a lot of things to talk about around the U of I campus. But obviously, you know, there's going to be a hunger to hear about, you know, Coach Bielma and Coach Underwood's teams. But we're not going to stop just there.
Yeah, we go back just a handful of years to the when Itchy Jones was a coach here. He coached here in Jacksonville. So a lot of people were very interested when he had success on the baseball field.
Yes, and of course, you know, the funny thing is he actually was the coach down at Southern Illinois University back in the 80s when I was there. So Itchy seems to have touched people throughout the state of Illinois. And of course, like I said, as we go, we're going to put those things in there to make sure that folks who enjoy those sports have something to hear as well.
Our guest this morning is Mike Kegley. We're talking Illinois sports. Illini guys will be on the air for the first time, 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. We hope you tune in from 6 to 8. Let's take a commercial break here. We'll ask him more specific questions about Illinois football and basketball and whatnot back after these. For Illini guys, 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, 6 to 8. We had a question off the air. Mike Kegley, by the way, is our guest this morning. He's part of the Illini guys. Will you talk much about high school sports?
You know, we will talk. Probably the biggest focus on high school sports will be the recruits that Illinois is looking at and who they are pursuing. You will see us talk quite a bit on our website. We will actually go across the country to actually watch some of the potential Illini recruits in action so that we can give people up-to-date analysis of how they're playing and who's the best fit, et cetera. But we will also cover, you know, big stories and stories that are happening in the state of Illinois. But I will be honest with your listener that won't be our number one focus. But like I said, you know, when you take a look at some of the teams, you know, the high school teams and the state playoffs that are going on, we're definitely going to talk about those type of things. And you just never know what pops up in the news or what record setter is out there that we may decide to go ahead and, you know, talk about on any given weekend.
Start breaking it down a little bit. what's going to have a bigger impact? And both, and let's look at football and basketball. Is it the transfer protocol being left open a little bit longer, or is it the licensing agreement that athletes can take advantage of?
Oh, I tell you what, I that's a tough question. I think both of them are going to have a big effect. The name, image, likeness, people call that the NIL. If people are not used to seeing that, it's going to be another acronym to learn. But the NIL is really changing the game, because players now can take a look at, you know, really earning, some of them, up to seven figures in college. You will have, now that's going to be rare, and that's only going to be for the biggest stars, but there's going to be, I think it may really, a side effect of NIL is it may really help college basketball, because so many of these players who felt like, you know, I really am financially in a poor position, I need to go pro to see if I can get drafted. They make that attempt, they don't get drafted, and now they're not in the college game anymore. That's really weakened college basketball. And now if you're a good player and you can make, you know, $100,000 or more, you know, playing college basketball for another year, that may give you the chance to say, hey, I need to work on my skills and, you know, my ball handling and my shooting or whatever it might be, and stick around. And I think the product on the court will be better. The transfer portal is interesting, because now teams are going to be able to build. That's another way to build. It's another tool in a coach's toolbox on how to build their team. And so they can look and say, well, we're going to look at the transfer portal and decide maybe we want to pick, you know, if you're on basketball, maybe we pick, you know, one or two transfers a year to supplement our team. The cool thing is for a coach is once they come to you out of the transfer portal, you don't have to worry about them leaving. The other thing that I think is a little dangerous for high school players, particularly if they have parents who are, you know, maybe on the overbearing side, some might say crazy parents, but, you know, if you have a parent who's, you know, kind of known for pressuring coaches and trying to, you know, throw their weight around, there's an argument to be made that maybe you don't recruit that player as hard as their talent may suggest you should, and let somebody else take the risk. And then if that particular, you know, parent gets mad and forces a transfer, that's when you get involved, when they don't have that ability to walk away right on time. And if you have a kid who maybe has some issues following rules, maybe those kids you don't recruit because it's just not worth the risk. You know, when they can leave, when they get frustrated, if you start enforcing rules on them. So I think both are going to change the game quite a bit.
And help me out on this, the transfer protocol and the portal, transfer portal, this evolved, this change, and the change was prompted by COVID, correct?
Well, I think the change, I'm not certain if it was COVID as much as it was just kind of the timing is how the NCAA does everything. Now, what made everything a little bit crazier was the fact that athletes now have, if they want to use it, they have an extra year of eligibility because of the COVID year, which then gives you, for instance, Kofi could play in theory, and I don't think he will, but he could play three more years at the U of I. He could actually be a five-year player, and if he did so, he could probably set all sorts of records, not only potentially for the Illini, but he could be in, you know, top 10 lists and top 5 lists for rebounds and scoring, you know, even at the NCAA level by getting that extra year. Now, most players, you know, will want to move on, you know, graduate, move on with life, but there is an option, as you're seeing with Trent Frazier, you know, this year, and DeMonte Williams, you know, coming back for a fifth year. And certainly, I don't blame any of the players who decide they want to use an extra year. That real world's pretty tough out there. And if you get a chance to play sports for another year, it's hard to say that, you know, why wouldn't you want to do that?
On the NIL front, is one of the potentials that maybe Nike, for instance, would sway the coaching staff and playing a player that they shouldn't, or giving them more time, or maybe playing them when they're hurt?
You know, I don't know that you'll see that as much. A lot of the players, you know, are just simply, they're to the point where they're looking at themselves as a brand. And I don't know if even a player would want to do that. You know, you've got the tough guy players, but if you really have pro potential, you know, do you want to do that? Now, Nike, it's interesting because obviously they're one of the sponsors of the University of Illinois. And of course, they're a big backer of University of Oregon as well, because that's where Phil Knight went to school. That's the CEO of Nike. So Nike is interesting. You know, there's probably a little bit of a love-hate relationship with everybody who's not Oregon. But I do think, you know, when these companies are going to have more sway, especially because if you have a local company, you know, if you think about it, like Ohio State, Columbus, Ohio is over 1 million people. So there's a lot of businesses in Ohio that can, and in Columbus, you know, right there, that can basically decide they want to contribute, you know, and want to have these Ohio State athletes advertising for them. And, you know, University of Illinois being in Champaign-Urbana is going to have to draw from all of Central Illinois businesses and probably some Chicago ones to keep up with that metropolitan heavy Columbus area.
Interesting.
It's going to be a little strange. We're going to have to be honest with you, Gary, we're going to have to see how it evolves. I think there may be some unintended consequences that will surprise a lot of us.
Interesting take from Mike Kegley, our guest. Illini Guys, which will premiere 6 o'clock on Saturday morning on WLDS. Let's look at the immediate, and the immediate is Illini football. Brent Bielema, what should we expect from him this year?
Well, I think one of the things that Coach B is trying to do is make sure that we don't know exactly what to expect. He's been very, very, playing his cards close to the vest. So practices are not going to be viewable this week. And they're working on a lot of things, but he brought in, you know, coordinators that he hasn't worked with very much in the past, so that he is not going to be totally predictable. He didn't want people to be able to just pick up an Arkansas or a Wisconsin film and figure they can scout the Illini. But I do think the interesting thing we will see is that Nebraska game is going to be the barometer. If they come out, and they're right now between a 7 and a 9 point underdog, depending on who you're looking at, but if they come out and beat a Nebraska team that's clearly the best one Scott Frost has had in his tenure at Nebraska, then all of a sudden there's a lot of possibilities that people maybe didn't think were on the table for potentially going to a bowl. If they come out and play a close game but lose, it tells you that, hey, this is going to be a team that's going to fight, and they're going to be close, you know, all the way. It looks like it'll be a team that's worth watching, and they might be able to pull out a bowl. And of course, if they have one of those games where they just get pounded by Nebraska, then there's going to be some concerns. Hey, are we going to be a 3 or 4 win team? And I don't think most people really know what to expect right now, and we're all anxiously awaiting that opening kickoff on the 28th against the Cornhuskers at noon. I think that's going to be on Fox TV, and they're actually kicking off the season, you know, from the Power 5 conference standpoint, and it's going to be an exciting day at Memorial Stadium.
I know from the coaches I've talked to and read about, he's made an impression on the high school football coaches around the state.
Yes, I got to give him credit. They've already won some recruitments that you would typically see against University of Iowa, where you would see Iowa come in and pull out a player and take them over to Iowa and win games with them. So Coach B is really holding his staff accountable and himself accountable for being all over the state and working with coaches across the state. And, you know, if you see that over the course of time, Illinois puts out a pretty good amount of talent on the football field across that great state. And I think what we'll see is, as they start winning their fair share of those, I think you're going to see the Illinois football program really benefit. And I think he wants to build that loyalty that was what he had up in Wisconsin. And I will tell you, when he first was coach, I didn't know if he was going to be able to recruit the offensive linemen like he gets. But boy, if you take a look at the guys he's got committing to the University of Illinois, those are the type of players who would be going to the University of Wisconsin. We're going to start having a massive offensive line, and that bodes well for Illini's future. Looking